Good morning, everybody. If you have a Bible or a device with you, could you please Oh, I'm a bit loud. Is that... We're fine? Sorry. Okay. Could you please pause registration for camp and flip on over to your Bible app or the Bible Gateway website and open up to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verses 1 and 2 and then from verses 22 through to 32. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. If you're using the Pew Bible, it'll be a little bit different because that's the good news. But the sentiments are the same. Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, and that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Will you please pray with me before we dive in? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to open your word in freedom and to learn from it. Lord, we pray that you would have something afresh to say to us through the words this morning. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to be continuing our series on long-term relationships, which David launched for us last week. And so in this particular sermon, we're going to be putting the focus onto ourselves using some of the advice we get from Ephesians chapter 4. Now, normally, if you're asked about a long-term relationship, particularly one that that is a choice to be in, for instance, like a friendship, a marriage, or even a workplace, one of the things you will often be asked is, well, what are you looking for? What are you looking for in a long-term friend? What are you looking for in a workplace? What are you looking for in a spouse? Those questions, that's not an invalid question. In fact, it is useful to have some sense of an idea of what you're looking for when establishing a relationship that is going to last a long time. But anybody who asks you that question, if they're a wise person and give wise counsel, will often also flip that question around and ask you, well, what are you trying to be? Are you trying to be the sort of person that you're looking for other people to be? Are you the sort of person that does the things and acts the certain way and believes and puts forth the ideas and the values that someone else is actually looking for when they're looking for long-term friendship? So we're flipping the question on its head. Instead of thinking about, well, what are we looking for to build long-term relationships, we're turning that back on ourselves and going, well, what can we do in ourselves to make sure we as individuals create in ourselves the sort of person that can build and sustain long-term relationships? And also then by extension, as more and more of us are able to do that, we create a culture where long-term relationships are valued. I haven't had the opportunity to listen to David's sermon from last week. I have no doubt it was fabulous, but he gave me a brief run, and he talked about the fact that in our society, relationships tend to be for the short term. We tend to view people through a disposable lens. Basically, we'll keep the relationship until it no longer benefits me, and then... Sorry, for people listening on the podcast, I did a flick with my hand. We give them the flick, and then we move on to something else that satisfies our needs. So today we're going to be talking about what we can do in ourselves to build a foundation for long-term relationships in our own lives. Can I have my next slide, please? If you are a young person or someone who might struggle to pay attention, I don't know, it's entirely up to you. I've got a series of palm branches, because it is Palm Sunday, that will appear on the worship, on the sermon slides throughout the course of the sermon. Now, there were two on the title slide, and there is one on this slide. So if you are going to count them, you're up to three. This is the last help that I'm going to give you. You're up to three. There are three so far. Keep track of those throughout the course of the sermon, and anybody who can tell me the correct answer at the end of the service, I will have a little prize for you at morning tea. That is not exclusive to children. I have a lot of minties that I need to get rid of. So if you're an adult and you want to keep track, keep track. And no cheating. Keep your answers to yourselves. I don't want any secondhand minties. No, I've got lots of minties to give away, but, you know, a sense of achievement is always nice. Anyway, let's dive in. What we're going to be looking at, six F words today that are going to come up on the screen. There we go. Six F words that we can use to build a foundation in ourselves for long-term relationships. Faith, filters, forbearance, forgiveness, find, food. In your own head, you might be able to say that five times fast. Faith, filters, forbearance, forgiveness, find, and food. The first four are a little bit more theoretical, and the last two will close off with some practicalities. But let's dive into the first one with faith. Particularly as Christians, often we are looking for other Christians that we can be friends with, that we can have a long-term relationship with to journey this life of faith. It says in our passage from Ephesians that we are to be made new in the attitude of our minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The foundation for us to be able to build a long-term relationship starts with our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with God, and being made new through the Holy Spirit, which is a sentiment which is repeated a number of times throughout Scripture. We start by focusing ourselves on Jesus and everything that God has made us to be. Think about it this way. If you want to be the sort of, if you want to have a really strong Christian friend, someone who walks the journey of faith with you, someone who pulls you up and holds you accountable and helps you be the best follower of Jesus Christ than you could possibly be, do you think that that person is going to track with you for the long term if you're only, Jesus, he's all right? If we want to be the sort of people that have strong, thriving relationships with other people of faith, we need to be growing as a disciple ourselves. It is really, really important. And even just a little side note on people who, when we have relationships, long-term relationships with people who don't yet know Christ, it's really important that we are growing and strong in our faith so that A, they don't lead us astray, and B, we can help bring them in and introduce them to Christ so they might know him too. So we need to be growing as a disciple of Christ. It says in Proverbs that just as iron sharpens iron, so the friends sharpen the minds of each other. We need to be iron that can sharpen iron. We need to be growing as disciples ourselves to be able to have good long-term relationships with other people of faith and to be protected in long-term relationships with people that don't yet know Christ. Filters, the second F word. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, some of you who've known me for quite some time may understand this about me. Whenever I read a passage in Scripture that talks about controlling the tongue and being careful with what we say, I don't like them. They're confronting. It's difficult. Many of you who know, I mean, I've already been told this morning that I need to slow down while I'm preaching. It was good advice, and I do take that on board because I do tend to speak quite a lot. And when you speak a lot, you're usually not far away from saying something that maybe you shouldn't have said. And I know this is, in many ways, I've just sort of done a whole preach to myself. Let's just put a mirror here and I'll ignore you for the next 5 minutes. But I know I'm not alone in this. We all say things that the encounter sign has fallen. Eddie, could you sort that out? Back to me, focus. Thank you, sorry for doing that. For those listening on the podcast, I get podcasted a fair bit, actually. Sign just fell down in the church, we're all back to where we should be. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. So when a sign falls down, ignore it and focus on the task at hand. We need to learn to control what we say to other people. Things that destroy relationships so often can come to what comes out of our mouths. things that can build really strong relationships, when we are saying things to other people that are building them up, we are going to be the sort of person that people want to hang around. People that only have nice things to say tend to be the sort of people that people want to hang out with. People that are constantly saying negative things about others, specifically about you when you're hanging out with them or spending time with them, that's not good. Those relationships don't tend to stand the test of time because they become toxic. They become difficult. They break you down. And so it's really, really important that if we want to be people that don't do that to others so that we can sustain long-term relationships, we've got to be careful. Whatever is unwholesome shouldn't be coming out. It needs to be filtered and stopped. And it's not just about filtering our words, because coming back to the transformation bit we talked about before, filters not only happen at the mouth, they happen in our head and our heart as well. Luke chapter 6 verse 45 says that a man or woman brings good things out of the good stored up in their heart, and an evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. It's not simply enough to think about having a negative thought or a negative feeling towards someone and then being about to say it and stop. As people of faith, we need to go one step further than that, and we need to take captive that thought in our mind and our heart before it even gets a chance to come out. We need to be storing up positive things, things that are going to be useful for building others up in our hearts. We need to put the filter there as well as the filter here, so that the only thing that comes out of our mouth are wholesome words, things that are going to be beneficial to the people that are hearing them. Because if we are the people that are constantly saying beneficial things to those that hear us, we are going to find it much easier to be in long-term relationships with people, because not only are we creating that on the surface, but inside we are forming more and more positive regard for one another, which leads me into my third F, which is forbearance, which is just a fancy word that starts with F, which means patience. Forbearance. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Have you ever heard that expression, "I don't know how you put up with them. They're so annoying."
Yes, all the time.
I wasn't expecting that enthusiastic a response from the congregation, so I'm glad you're here this morning to hear this. We need to be the sort of people that question gets asked about. Now, before I dive into that a little bit further, I just want to say some things on the side. When it comes to forbearance and putting up with things, I'm not talking about putting up with toxic behavior like manipulation, abuse, or anything like that. If someone is actually a danger to your spiritual, mental, and physical health, that is not something you are meant to forbear. That is something that you are meant to sever and move away from, because that is detrimental to you. So in those situations, and I know that there's a lot of complication involved in those sorts of relationships, I don't mean to oversimplify that. I'm just simply saying, if someone is like emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually abusive towards you, you are not called to just put up with it. But I'm talking about people's quirks, the little unique and individual things that might sometimes grate upon you, because I've got profound theological truth about this. Guess what? Not everyone is like you. I know! Not everyone is like me. We are different. And when you are spending an extended period of time, because we're talking about long-term relationships, when we're talking about long-term relationships with people that have quirks or little eccentricities that might grate on us, it is really, really important that we are forbearing people, because God made that person. God made that person and their eccentricities. Not only that did He make them, but He made them with a purpose. He made them with a unique role on this earth that only they can fulfill, that those unique quirks and eccentricities that they have will help enable them to fulfill that calling and purpose that God has given them. Did we get all that? Okay, so God created them with a purpose. That purpose involves a whole bunch of eccentricities that He has specifically wired into them to help them achieve that purpose. The reason that we need to be forbearing in building long-term relationships is because we need to get to a point where we can get past some of the initial annoyances or irksome bits and actually learn to see what is inside them that God has placed there for the benefit of everybody else. We need to bear with people long enough to see what God sees. And we need to celebrate what God has created within them. We need to be positive about that. We need to be empowering and building that up. It's very important that we are people that forbear, that get to that point. Because if we're the sort of people that write people off too quickly, or we never get a chance to see what is underneath some of the barriers that we may have, we may be missing the opportunity to have a really, really good long-term relationship where we can not only help them in their purpose that God has given them, but they can help us in our purpose that God has given us. This whole passage from Ephesians 4 is subtitled Unity and Maturity in the Body. It's all about this culture of a long-term relationship so that those long-term relationships fulfill the purpose of growing in Christ's likeness and filling out His mission. Whew! Excellent. With forbearance as well, by doing that and seeing what people see, that feeds into the other two. Because if we're seeing what God sees, that helps us build up positive things in our heart that we can then come out of our mouths, out of the overflow of our hearts, because we're forbearing and waiting to see what other people have. We do this because we love them, because God first loved us. So much so that God forgave us, which is my fourth F, forgiveness. Now again, I do want to come back to this notion I was talking about briefly regarding abusive relationships, because forgiveness can be a really, really challenging thing when you've been hurt. And forgiveness is an important step in us healing and moving on for ourselves. Now the person that needs to be forgiven who might have done us actually wrong, sinned against us, caused us harm, they may not seek our forgiveness. They may not seek that they've done anything wrong. But it is not for us to hold on to that. If we're moving away from that, carrying that baggage is really, really unhelpful. There's an old proverb that's saying, holding on to things is like poisoning yourself and expecting the other person to get sick. Don't do it. We need to be people that are forgiving for the relationships that aren't necessarily designed to last the test of time, so that we can, not only so that we can be better at the ones that do stand the test of time, so that we can forgive other people when they wrong us in a long-term relationship. Just quickly, if you've ever known anybody for longer than 10 years, hands up if they've never ever done anything that requires forgiveness. This is what I thought. It is very, very unlikely. Well, there's one hand up the back, but I'll discuss that with them later. It is very, very, it is... No, that's okay. I will not let any unwholesome talk come out. I will build them up beneficially and explain gently why they are wrong. No. Forgive me, please. Forgive me for that. Sorry. We need to be people that are forgiving. The reality is forgiveness is such an important part of long-term relationships. You could do an entire sermon on forgiveness alone. It says at the end of our passage that we are to be kind and compassionate with each other, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. There is so much research out there about how healthy forgiveness is for our souls. But before we even get to all the wonderful benefits of being forgiveness, there's an important fact that we need to remember, and the best way I can sum that up is with a C.S. Lewis quote. C.S. Lewis said, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." The reality is no one is perfect. And in our imperfect relationships that last the test of time, we're going to get hurt at one point or another. They are going to wrong us and we are going to wrong them. It is really, really important that we are people that build a culture of forgiveness within our hearts, which is also connected to forbearance, which is also connected to our faith and our filters. Those first four F words work together. By being people who are forbearing and forgiving because of our faith, we are able to better filter what we say to others. Before we get to the last two F words, I've got some fatal F words that I would like to share with you as well. These are the F words that kill relationships. First F word, that fatal F word, is falsehood. One of the best examples of falsehood is when you are basically, essentially, pretending to be someone's friend and you're not really. For example, classic example of that is gossip. When someone shares with you something about themselves and you then go off and tell all the other people about it, even though you told them that it was going to be confidential between the two of you. In Ephesians 4:25, we are told that we need to put off falsehood. We are told that we are to put off falsehood. Ha! We need to get rid of that, because that is fatal to long-term relationships. Be authentic. Be who God created you to be. fury. That's another fancy F word because I couldn't find the right word. So the second fatal F word is fury. It says that we are not to sin in our anger, and we are not even to let the sun go down while we're still angry, because that gives the devil a foothold. That's Ephesians 4:27. We need to get rid of anger. I'm not finished yet. I'm not angry. I'm getting rid of my anger. Because I'm forgiving and forbearing. No. We need to make sure that we need fury, anger in another person, letting anger build up. If you're angry about something, calmly, I stress calmly, take a deep breath and calmly explain to the person why you're upset and how you are feeling and why you are feeling that way. And never make the person the problem, always make the situation. Classic example. So, Jude, when the slide went up before I was finished, it threw me a little bit in my sermon and how I was delivering it. And because of that, I got a little bit, but that's okay, because we can get back to where we're going and it's not that big an issue. All good. Was that a good example? That was a good example. That'll do. All right. Get rid of fury. And the other one, which is also connected to what I was just talking about, which is a good example segue in, frivolous fighting. There is no point fighting about that. Well, it says in Ephesians 4:31, get rid of brawling and slander. Don't fight over silly things, because that is going to kill a long-term relationship, because you're fighting over things that don't really matter. You should only ever come into conflict with people when it's something that really, really matters and challenges your deep values. If you're fighting over something frivolous, chances are it's because there's something deeper underneath that that's really the issue going on. You shouldn't be fighting over frivolous things. So get rid of falsehood, get rid of fury, get rid of frivolous fighting. Those things are fatal to long-term relationships. And then there's probably one of the most fatal words of all, which is fear. Fear not only can kill long-term relationships, but it can stop them from ever getting off the ground. Some common fears that prevent long-term relationships are abandonment, fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, fear of judgment, and fear of getting hurt. Fun fact about the Bible, the words "do not be afraid" appear in the Bible 365 times. Kind of like a daily reminder that fear is not something that we should be allowing into our lives. I just want to address each of those four big fears independently with some words from Scripture. So you do not need to fear abandonment, because God will never abandon you. In Matthew 28:20, it says, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." People on this side of eternity may abandon you, but God never will. Therefore, we do not need to fear abandonment. Fear of rejection. Being vulnerable in long-term relationships, putting off falsehood and being who we truly are, that can be a really, really scary place. Because what if the person rejects you? What if they don't like who you are? Well, people on this side of eternity may reject you, but God never will. He says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." From Isaiah 43:1. We do not need to fear rejection because God does not reject us. Fearing of judgment, that's another big one. When we see people, when they see us, warts and all, sometimes warts and all lend themselves to judgment and condemnation. But in Romans 8:1, it says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Even if the world judges you, God no longer judges you because of what Christ has done, which we get to celebrate next weekend, which is going to be fantastic. We do not need to fear the world's judgment because we no longer have to worry about God's judgment. And finally, the fear of getting hurt. The other three are the sort of things in relationships that might happen, but they might not. Getting hurt is almost inevitable. In fact, in the Bible verse that talks about this, John 16:33, it's pretty much a promise that hurt is going to happen. It says, "In this world, you will have troubles, but take heart." This is Jesus' words. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You may get hurt, but again, because of what Jesus has done, he has overcome the hurts of this world. He will never reject, abandon, or judge us, and he is with us always till the very end of the age. If you go through seasons of hurt, always remember that. Always remember that you are God's child, that he has redeemed you, you are his, and he made you, and he loves you. It's that simple, really. Moving away from our fatal F words and to the final two positive F words, these are some practical tips of how we can build and start and build long-term relationships. First one is find. Simple Bible verse, Matthew 7:7. Keep on seeking and you will find. If you want to be in long-term relationships with people, you do have to be a bit proactive and go out there and find them. The only time, even in, like, say, the classic biblical example, one of my favorite stories is when Elijah runs out into the wilderness. He's given up and he literally asks God to take his life. Like, I'm done. I can't handle this anymore. And God's response is, you know what? I'm going to give you a friend. But he didn't beam Elijah, beam me down, Scotty. He didn't beam down Elisha from the clouds and present him to Elijah going, here's your friend. It's like, no. Go and find him. This is where he'll be. Go and find him. If you want to be the person who builds and sustains long-term relationships, you need to start by finding them. And to add on to the fact that we will find them, I'm also going to include, some great words from that wonderful theologian, Evan Hansen, who said, you will be found. Not only will you find long-term relationships, but you will be found as well if you go looking, because with all those other F words in place, you're going to be the sort of person that people are going to want to be friends and be in a long-term relationship with. Final practical tip, food.
Come on now.
Food is fantastic. Hands up if you love being invited over to people's places for dinner. Seriously? That was fewer than I anticipated. Okay, keep hands up. Hands up if you love being invited over to people's places for dinner. There's some people introverts, but I don't necessarily like those. Okay, keep your hands up if you like and regularly invite people over for dinner. That's a fairly common response to those sorts of things. We love being fed. It's a little bit more hard work when we actually have to feed people. So my advice to you is feed people. The Bible tells us time and time again that we are to practice hospitality. In fact, one of the first things that it encourages people who are on the outer of the community, the thieves, is to stop stealing, do some work so that you've got something that you can share. As soon as you've got things of your own, resources of your own, food of your own, the call is to start sharing it. So my encouragement to all of us is to let's use food. If you want to start and sustain long-term relationships, feed someone. Share a meal with them. Invite them over for dinner. Go out for a meal with them. Use food as the starting point for a long-term relationship, because before you know it, you might have food with them again, and then they feed you and you feed them and they feed you, and then before you know it, it's 20 years down the track and you are sitting across the table from someone you never knew you would meet, who is there in your life, who is helping you walk the journey of faith, who is absolutely amazing to be around, and who is your long-term friend. It's hard work, but it can be done, and my practical advice to end with is just let's start with some food. So on that note, I'm going to pray. Rosie's going to come back up and lead us in a final song. It doesn't start with F, so I can't. I'm just a final song for us to worship, and then we will partake in some food together. So please join me in prayer.